Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Good morning, Mr. Rushforth.
Good morning, lads. How's everyone this morning?
Are you laying in the sunshine at the beach?
Oh, I wish I was, my friend. I wish I was. Nope, I'm in my living room slash office right now.
You still haven't got a permanent office there.
I still haven't, I know. I'm finishing a little bit of my basement to put a room down there for my son. I'm going to turn his bedroom into my office eventually. But I've been saying that since the pandemic started, so who knows?
No kidding. Well, welcome to the third shutdown, boys.
Yeah, I know. That's tough. So tough.
Here we go again.
Is Frankie on or no?
Not yet, you know. Frank.
Oh, he likes to be late. How do you be late to a call-in show?
Frank is making his breakfast or something.
Yeah, well, he's definitely not buying it. That's for sure. it's unfortunate. I feel for all of the small businesses. I feel for the restaurants, the bars, the gyms. I feel for all those guys. It's tough. But you know what? What's happening right now is also tough on everybody. So
yeah, the numbers aren't great.
No, they're not. They're not, and it's. It's really tough right now.
Well, hopefully it's the last one.
Well, here's the problem, what I don't understand. There's 328 million people in the United States, and over a third of them are vaccinated.
Yeah.
So that's Canada three times over. Canada could be vaccinated three times over, and I just don't get what's going on, and it's frustrating, and it's crippling our economy.
Yeah, it is. Well, like I said, let's hope this is the last one. We move on. We're into April now, and the good news is that Frank has joined us.
You know what the weird part is? I'm working, and I'm listening to CFRA online. It's like, and of course, it's delayed, but I don't realize that, and then all of a sudden our little jingle comes on. It's like, oh my God, I got to call in.
Frank, we do this every Saturday, eh, Frank?
Yeah, Frank.
I know. And you know what? We used to get on at 11:06, 11:07, eh? We used to get on, and now since the pandemic, I think we're on a little bit earlier. We're getting a few extra minutes, I think, earlier.
Well, because we've been getting calls. People can't wait that long.
That's awesome. That's fantastic, actually.
After 14 years, Frank, I guess we surprised you, eh?
What's that?
By the time?
No, I just said, right? We were always on 11:07 because of all the news and the commercials. Now I find we're on a little earlier.
I'm telling you, it's because people can't wait. They look forward to the show every week.
I know. They're sitting waiting.
And because things change so quickly now, you got to keep up to date.
Oh, yeah. Things are changing quickly.
Have any numbers, Paul? No numbers yet, eh?
No, the numbers haven't come out yet. I looked this morning. I was hoping they were going to come out. They haven't come out. But it's such a weird market. I mean, I had my Tuesday call with my team, and we talked about what's going on in the market. We had like a little celebratory Zoom meeting on Thursday night, and the market had already shifted and changed. And it's so hard to keep up. I don't know how the average agent is doing it. I mean, I'm studying the market probably twice a day now, not just once a day, probably twice a day, and it's such a yo-yo of a market right now. It's crazy. But last week we talked about there was 1,200 some listings on the market, and Frank, I said there'd be about 13. Frank said about what, 12 something. We're actually under that now. We're at 1,177 active listings on the market right now.
Well, I thought we were going up.
We were going up. You know, last week we talked about how the listings were outpacing the sales. Well, it's actually reversed this week. The sales outpaced the listings. So it's such a fluid market. I've never seen anything like this, and it's hard to predict. I had someone call me the other day and ask me, you know, here's this house listed at such and such. Where do you think it's going to sell? And I was like, I have no idea. I have no idea because I don't know if someone's going to go crazy and overbid on it, if there's not going to be as much attention on it because there's more listings on the market, but now there's not more listings on the market. It's so hard.
Are they still selling over asking, Paul?
They are, yeah. We're still seeing multiple offers on a lot of homes. You know, I'd love to see a number of how many properties actually sell over asking. I don't know, but I know for us personally, I think I mentioned last week, we're somewhere around, probably 75 to 80% of them are selling well over asking. Multiple offers on a lot of them. So it's just a very, very fluid market. And what we talk about today will probably be entirely different about what we talk about next week. And
that's unbelievable.
You just have to keep you have to keep a pulse on the market. Otherwise you've missed it. Last week we talked about, Orleans, Barrhaven, Kanata. I always track how many listings there. Last week we were closer to 300. Now we're at 175. The new listings and the sold properties are skyrocketing. The average sale price over the week actually flattened out a little bit. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen when the numbers come out. You know, last year, last March, because half of the month was very strong and then half of the month was the pandemic, our number of sales was still up 1% or 1.something%. It wasn't until April and May where we went down 55% and 44%. Those were the two hardest hit months. So obviously when we look at the April numbers and the May numbers, it's going to be so drastic because those were the months we got killed in last year. It's only once June opened up that we actually started having more normal market and start to take off.
Yeah, we got killed in those months, but for no reason this time around. You know, either we're used to these shutdowns, but the market after those 2 months, it never looked back.
It never did. No, and it's hard to explain why, because we were losing so many jobs, yet the market was going crazy. But the thing is, a lot of the jobs that we were losing were sort of the service industry, and a lot of the service industries, they're renters. They're not exactly, a lot of them aren't owners. So I think that's what happened there. That's why, you know, there's still people with stable jobs. People still had to work. It's just people were working differently and working from home and having to adapt. And you know, yes, this is the third shutdown, but at the same time, it really does not affect the real estate market. I think all the realtors in Ottawa have done an amazing job of adapting and just learning how to do things a different way. And
I think if anything, Paul, it turns the real estate market up even more.
It does. It actually does. I mean, when you're in lockdown, I mean, what do you have to do? Actually, last year, every time we went into lockdown, the searches on realtor.ca were through the roof because people had nothing to do but look at properties. And I assume that's probably going to happen again this time. In the next 28 days, we're going to find the searches are going through the roof.
Now, I know it's the first time any of the three of us have seen gains like this in the Ottawa market, but it's the first time I've ever seen gains like this right across the country.
No, they're right across the country. They're right across the United States as well. Like, it's the gains are absolutely crazy. I mean, there's not a market that is not thriving. I mean, I know Alberta is still struggling, but it's the rest of the markets are just on fire. Maybe not quite as on fire as Ottawa, but on fire.
Frank, what do you think the government's going to do in the budget? Do you think they're going to try and cool things down?
I hope not. That being said, I mean, anything's on the table. Just feels like a lot of the banks have been really out there asking the government to do something about this. And that's a little scary if you're a consumer, because the banks are extremely powerful and there's a good chance that the politicians are listening to them. That being said, I mean, delinquencies haven't changed at all. Delinquencies are actually lower than they were a year ago, which is absolutely amazing. More Canadians paid down their mortgages in 2020 than any other year ever. And what we're talking about is make extra payments towards their mortgage. It was the largest year ever of Canadians actually putting extra money towards their mortgages. So
because of no vacations, right?
Possibly because of working from home. And therefore, you know, I just think, honestly feel like most people that I talk to have made the home more of a priority, knowing that they may be working from there. And therefore, they've also taken into account the fact that what they would spend on parking, gas, insurance. A lot of couples that I've talked to have gone down to one vehicle. They had two vehicles, now they're down to one vehicle. They've eliminated the car loan payment. They've eliminated the insurance that goes with it. They've eliminated, you know, eating out at lunch and bringing lunch and staying at home. And they've taken that money and they've said, we're okay to buy a house of this amount because that's still well within our budget. And honestly, most people that I'm talking to, and listen, we had a record month in March. I mean, we did in the month of March alone in mortgages what we did last year, the first 3 months of the year. So
wow,
absolutely outstanding. I mean, we shattered the best month ever, just shattered it. But it was helping a lot of our customers with just changing the scope of their mortgage from a standpoint of they've got some outside debt, put it all together, set it up as one payment, and now your stress level from a financial standpoint is way down. You're taking advantage of the low interest rates, and what you're doing now is you're actually getting yourself ahead, and you've gotten the home that you want, maybe set some money aside for upgrades, which you're going to do, and you're going to really enjoy your home more. So yes, has mortgage debt gone up? Naturally, it's going to go up. If values of homes are going up across the country, then naturally the mortgage debt is going to go up with it too. That being said, like the report that I sent you guys that I'm sure you guys read from front to back.
I'm on page two.
On page two, 72 pages of it. But it highlights there how Canadians have done so well with home ownership, and it's not, you know, this negative that we continue to hear from either politicians or from the media. And I guess the media gets it from politicians and they're going to post it, but this negativity that's out there, because there's always going to be people that are in over their heads. But the majority of Canadians are well established when it comes to they can handle their mortgage payments, they can handle their outside payments, and there's even more Canadians that virtually have no mortgage left on their house, and that is encouraging.
What was the number there, Frank, for people who have no mortgage left on their house?
It's not no mortgage, and I don't know that that number was there, but there's 72.7% of equity in homes in Canada. So therefore, if you took all the values of all the homes in Canada and took all the mortgages account for 27% of the value of the home. So that is an absolutely outstanding number. Most countries cannot come close to that. And again,
that's crazy low, Frank.
It is crazy low.
It is really low. If you would have asked me that question, I would never have said that. I would have probably said in the 50s.
No.
That's unbelievable.
No, but there's a lot of people that have their houses paid for or have virtually no mortgages on their house.
Oh, you know what that does to me, Steve? Just burns me that people have no mortgage on their house. They're not doing something with that money, investing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what?
But Paul, I understand what you're saying, but again, there's a safety net there for some people that
I agree.
Having their house paid for is an accomplishment. I mean, I had one client that wrote me this week and said, "Hey, Frank, we got great news. We're about to make our last payment on our mortgage. And, you know, can you tell me what happens?" And I said, "Well, you get to celebrate with a nice expensive bottle of wine if you want." And she wrote me back and she goes, "That check, that's done." And I said, "The other thing is now you're going to have to wait 2 or 3 months before the bank sends you the discharge documents. And then if you truly want to discharge it, you got to bring it to the registry office or get your lawyer to deregister it for you. But congratulations. That's fantastic." And, you know, they came in with a 25-year amortization and they paid it off in 14 years. And,
wow.
You know, they took some of the little tips that I told them. Number one, they benefited from the lower interest rates. And number two, they did the little thing that I've been, you know, trying to preach to people. Every year, increase your biweekly payments by $20.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
Do that, and that's all they did, they said. And somehow they've got it paid in 14 years.
Are they still charging for this discharge statement?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. The bank will charge you about $300 for your final payment. It'll be $300. Most banks do. I think some of them are waiving it, but most of them are still doing it. And then, even though you get that document, then I said to her, I said, make sure you store it. If you're not going to do anything with it, store it. But if you're going to actually go to the registry office and deregister it, that's perfect. But if you're not going to go to the registry office and deregister it, make sure you store that document because at some point you may need it.
And if you don't, it would get deregistered when you sold anyhow, wouldn't it, Frank?
When you sold. That's what I mean, right? But just in case there's any question marks at the time, whether the mortgage is paid off or not, you'll be able to give your lawyer that document when you sell it. And then it's a nice, simple transaction at that point.
Boy, what a good feeling, though, when that house is paid off. And then you phone Paul and you say, "What can I do with this money that I have? What could I invest in?
Invest in lots of stuff." But, you know, just before we go to a break, I do want to congratulate Frank, actually, because we talked a couple months ago. And, you know, Frank didn't even know that Ottawa had snow in the winter months. I just want to congratulate Frank for getting through the winter in the snow this year. So congratulations.
You know what? Someone looked after me because it melted by the middle of March. It was all gone, which was awesome. So.
You know, the problem is now Frank's gained so much weight, he can't go south again.
You're right.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll take your calls and be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Hey, Paul, I was just thinking, you know, one of the benefits to this market for you, your signs are going to last a lot longer because they're not in the ground very long.
That's true.
Speaking of which, I saw one of your signs in Barrhaven. I forget what street it was, Maple something, but it looked like the place had a huge backyard. These are big now, I guess, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's 81 Maple Stand. It's actually hitting this week. I think it's Wednesday it hits. And it's probably one of the biggest backyards in Barrhaven. It's a huge pie-shaped lot backing onto the Barrhaven Creek. It has a beautiful large deck and a hot tub area and lots of room for a pool. So it's just a huge yard. Like I mentioned, backing onto Barrhaven Creek, it's a 3+1 bedroom, has a second floor loft, a finished basement. It's a beautiful home, but the backyard is just spectacular.
How do you know so much about that? I'm talking about your sign. All of a sudden you go, hey, I know what he's talking about.
Well, because I talked to my agent. That Dora listed that one. I talked to Dora about this. Every time we list a property, I always ask the agents things about it and stuff like that. So I want to know. I mean, because I'm not listing it, if someone calls me and asks me about it, I don't want to sound stupid that I don't know. So I just asked her about the property, and she's just going on and on and on about the backyard and the privacy and the beautiful trees, and it sounded like an absolute beautiful property.
Yeah, it does. It sounds great.
Yeah, so that's going to hit this week. We're going to hit it probably just under 900,000, and it's I believe it hits Wednesday. So yeah, anyone looking for a gorgeous house in Barrhaven with a perfect lot, this is the one for you.
I guess knowing your properties is how you make a success for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Happy anniversary, by the way. 10-year anniversary for Paul, Frank.
Yeah.
I know. You know, thanks to us. Look at how fast he's grown.
Yeah. Where would he be without us, eh, Frank?
No, I do. A huge shout out to the members of my team. I've had some people who've been with me since day one. I've had some people who've been with me for a shorter period. But, you know, in that time frame, I have 12 agents. In that time frame, we sold over 6,000 homes, which is just astonishing. And I'm just proud to be with this group of agents or this team, this whole team. I mean, we had a great little celebration Zoom night on Thursday night. I bought everyone dinner, and we just had some good laughs and had a cocktail and just had a really, really good time. So it's all about the team. It's not me. It's just that they're the success story, not me.
I thought it was Frank and I.
How was your dinner, Steve?
I thought it was Frank
Steve,
and I.
How was your dinner?
Yeah.
How was your dinner, Steve, on Thursday night? I don't remember.
Well, I still have the coupon he gave me for the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Nice. You guys are also instrumental in the success of all this.
Oh, that hurt to say, didn't it? 521-TALK, 521-8255. Let's go to Ken in Orleans. Hello, Ken.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for the call. I'm in Paul's neck of the woods. I'm kind of a rock and a hard place looking for work, and I'm just tracking some MLS emails that I'm getting from a realtor that I was going to try and do something with a couple of years ago with my last partner. So his emails are lingering, and I'm getting a MLS price, and then, of course, I'm getting the bid-up sale price in my area, and I'm looking for work, but I've also found a side gig with my 20-year expertise in the stock market, and it's cash flowing nicely, but it's one of those you need money to make money. It's just one of those classes.
Are you looking for a job, Ken?
Yeah, well, that. But, time off gives you a peek at side gigs, and I got one off the ground. It's cash flowing nicely, but I'm just wondering, I guess, point blank, and I'd like to talk to my dad because he has a rental property in Riverside South, earmarked for me in the next 10 to 15 years. He finally opened up about that. So I'm sitting on my condo, and I saw it go from 350 to 461 the other day. I just about fell over, and I owe about 175 on it. And I'm just thinking, I can't extract a HELOC without work unless I go to some rogue tier two. Maybe some Frank can weigh in on that. But, as for Paul, basically, should I sell and rent, and then my capital goes through the roof, and I can accelerate my side gig?
Do you think, Paul, sell and rent, or hang on?
It's so hard. I mean, I hate seeing people lose home ownership. But you know what? We're seeing more people doing this right now. I mean, the rental market is actually, since last week and the week after, has actually flipped upside down. There used to be tons for rent. Now there's not as much for rent, and you're getting multiple offers even on rentals now. I would hate to see you. I mean, it's great to take advantage of the gains in your condo, but, then you're a renter. It's going to be almost impossible to get back into the purchase game. And so I would, if you desperately need the money, I'd say, go ahead and do it. But otherwise, I would never try to sell just to go into a rental, depending on, if you're elderly, which it doesn't sound like you're elderly, if you're elderly, and that's, that might be an option, but you don't sound old. You sound like you're fairly young. I personally would keep home ownership if you could, as long as you can afford it.
What about qualifying as self-employed, Frank?
Well, are you truly self-employed? Do you haven't, you're just, if you're just doing day trading, then you're not technically, as far as the lenders are concerned, self-employed. Self-employed is you've registered a business, and you're filing taxes as a business. That would be self-employed, or you've got articles, or you got a business license. So as long as you've got that, then you're considered self-employed by the traditional lenders. Alternate lenders have a different way of looking at things, and that's what you talked about. I mean, they're not rogue. I mean, they're alternate lenders out there that will lend you money. Rates are higher, but because of your circumstances, you can't get financing through a traditional bank or lender, so you're forced to having to go that route. Because of the low interest rates, though, even those lenders aren't that unreasonable. It all depends. I mean, if you tell me you're getting a 12 to 15% return on your money and you got to borrow it at 5 or 6%, well, then you make the decision whether you want to do that or not.
That was a misterm by me. Definitely not rogue. I'm with First National now. I love them. I've renewed with them. My current broker found them for me in trying times. Yeah. And my dad's actually on my condo. So if I put a for sale sign in the yard with Paul, then my dad's got to weigh in because he's on the title because of my debt ratio back in the day there when I divorced. So.
See, maybe your dad's dad needs a radio show that you can call in and say, "Hey, Dad, what do you think?"
if your dad's on title and on the mortgage, you might be able to go to TD Bank. So TD Bank and First National are very closely tied together. Anybody that's looking for a home equity line of credit, if their mortgage is with First National, because First National at this time doesn't offer lines of credit. Hopefully they will in the future. Right. I know they're working on it, but... But I would say that you might want to connect with a TD branch. I know that First National is coming out. I we're doing a video, a call with them a week and a half from now in reference. They're coming out with a secured MasterCard. So basically the equity of your home, but the interest rates are not going to be as friendly as you going to TD Bank or another bank for that fact. And just getting a home equity line of credit if you've got that much equity built up in your house.
Great. Thanks for the call, Ken. Got to move on. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Back with Paul Rushforth, paulrushforth.com, and Frank Napolitano from mortgagebrokersottawa.com. To the phones we go and say hello to Rob. Hi, Rob.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Look, I'm from Aylmer. I don't know if you people deal with Aylmer at all, because I always listen to your program, but I never hear about Aylmer or this side of the river.
Yeah, and so I know Frank is for mortgages can definitely help you, but as far as real estate, I can't. I'm not licensed on the Quebec side. Saying that, though, I do work with a really, really top-notch realtor on the Quebec side that I'm more than happy to pass on to you.
Yeah. I don't know if you can answer anything. Like, I have a one-acre property, fully landscaped, almost right downtown. I don't know if you know the police station area.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't have access to any information on their real estate board, so I couldn't even help you with price. I wish I could.
But it is just as good a time to sell in Aylmer as anywhere else, given that the entire country has gone up, right?
Everybody tells me the property is worth a fortune because it's a three-bedroom house, as I say, fully professionally landscaped, totally matured trees all the way around. And everybody tells me it's between $6 and $1 million, but I have no idea.
Yeah. Paul will get you a guy.
Yeah. No, I'm more than happy. If you want to...
Sorry, I can't hear Paul too well.
Paul, if you want to give Paul a shout, he'll give you a great name of someone in Aylmer.
Yeah, I'm looking for somebody who's really, going to be straight with me on...
Yep, exactly.
I'll give you a guy who does very similar to what I do. He's got a big team. He sells, upwards of 400, 500, 600 homes a year. Very reputable, great guy.
Is he as good as you?
Well, nobody's as good as Paul.
Oh, sorry.
That's virtually impossible, but he's a very good guy, straight shooter, good guy. I'm more than happy.
Can I have his number?
Yeah, well, I can actually give you his name. His name is Marty Waite.
Pardon?
Marty Waite.
Marty
Waite.
Yeah.
I should go to him directly?
Yeah, just his email is info@martywaite.com. Great guy.
And do not tell him that Paul recommended him.
No, I'm not going to do that. Okay, thanks a million.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. Let's go to Eli. Hello, Eli.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, so I know you said the March stats weren't out, but just want to know, like, internally, within your own company and maybe other brokers that you may know of, have you seen, like, a drop or anything? Because the reason I'm asking is that, like, personally, like, I received emails from your from one of your team, and, like, for searching houses in central part of Ottawa.
Okay.
And, like, I also get the listed price and the sold price for most of them. And, I'm shocked to see that I've seen prices either drop off or not getting these crazy over-asking in the last 2 weeks of March.
Yeah, funny you say that. So internally, yes, I mean, I think we're going to see that March was a strong month. I know internally, last March we did 60 sales. This year we did 72. So we're definitely up in March. But saying that, we have seen, and like I said, this changes almost every day, but we've seen a few more listings hit the market, so it's not quite as crazy out there. But it all depends. Like, you're looking central. Central's pretty hot. West is very hot. South is very hot. East has cooled off a little bit because we're seeing a lot of listings hitting the market in the East. But when I say cool off, meaning instead of maybe getting 10 offers, you might get 2 or 3. But no, we're still seeing homes selling for high prices. But I just think agents, if they do their homework, like we listed a house the other day, it wasn't hitting the market for 4 days. And in that time frame, in that 4 days, there was 10 other comparables that hit the market in that area. So we had to pivot a little bit on price. We sold it, but probably not as much as we would have if those homes didn't hit the market. So it's where you're looking.
And how quickly it's changing, right?
And how quickly it's changing. Like, within 4 days, 10 comparables hit the market, which is unheard of.
Yeah, so if you're not keeping an eye on that, you're losing out.
Yeah.
So I know there's more listings coming on, but is there not also...
Well, there were more listings, but now, according to Paul today, there are fewer again.
Well,
but that's just like, that's just like a few dozen fewer or less. I mean, I don't see that making a big difference. But I mean, aren't there more buyers also who come out at this time of the year looking for homes? So I don't understand why you would have that much of a difference in, I mean, it is a seller's market, right? And the demand is still much higher than the supply. So why would we see that much of a difference in offers on a home, like going from 10 offers to now 2 or 3 offers?
Well,
is there not something else that's coming into play here?
No, I don't think so. And when I, like, yeah, there's more buyers hitting the market right now, but there's more properties hitting the market. Certain areas of town, you are getting 10 or 12 offers. Other areas, maybe not as much. And it all depends on, what's hitting the market that day, what product you're looking for. Like, I know in the West and the South, it's really hot right now. You're still 10 offers on properties. You're still getting tons of, like, multiple offers going way over asking price. And then there's other areas that you're still going over asking, but maybe not quite as much. You're not getting quite as many offers on it. And it's just because there's more inventory hitting the market. That's all.
But it changes day to day, and it depends on what area you're in too, right, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I talked about last week, Orleans had 40 townhomes on the market when the week before there were like 12.
Yeah.
I looked again this morning, there's 29. So it's coming down a little bit, but, things are getting absorbed. Like, there's less than a month's inventory on the market right now. The absorption rate is really low. So things are selling. They're selling over asking. Certain areas at certain times have a little bit of a slowdown, and at other times they don't have a slowdown. It just all depends. And I've never seen a fluid market like this.
No kidding.
What we're talking about right now, next week, might be entirely different.
Frank, are you seeing any more interest in reverse mortgages now?
Not yet, but I do think that's going to start to happen as the property values have gone up. And obviously there's only, reverse mortgages only have a certain percentage that you can borrow from the home. For those that don't know what a reverse mortgage is, it's basically More expensive. It is more expensive than your traditional mortgage, but the benefit of a reverse mortgage is it comes with no mortgage payments needed. So hence, they only lend to a certain amount of your equity, but now that the property values have gone up the way they have, maybe that number could be adjusted. But again, I mean, it's meant to allow for elder, because you have to be minimum 55 years old to be able to qualify for it. So luckily, all three of us qualify for it right now.
But, I wouldn't call that elder.
but really, I mean, it allows the elder folks who want to stay in their homes that are on just on pension income and maybe are having a tough time making ends meet, but their house is fully paid for. It allows them to tap into some equity, and they've got programs which are really good. You know, we do it. We'll do a handful of reverse mortgages every year, and I think those numbers will probably go up. But basically, what it allows them to do is either get an upfront lump sum payment, or you can actually even set it up so that you're getting monthly payments into your bank accounts. You know, you might be approved for $250,000. But you say you only want $2,000 per month kind of thing. So you'll only pay the interest on the $2,000 that you're getting every month. And then as it continually goes up, obviously the interest amount goes up. But they've got a program where it allows you to get the payments on a monthly basis as well, which is really nice too.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because if you downsize, you're not really getting that big chunk of cash that you used to, because those properties have gone up in value as well, right? So it could be an option.
Yeah, for sure. I think some people look at it a little bit differently. You know, if they've got their house paid for, what they'll do is they'll sell their house and then find a rental property so that they're doing that. And then they've got all the money in the bank account based on, you know, everything they've worked so hard to get that equity. So now they've got it in place for, you know, to be able to afford the rents and kind of live happily ever after kind of thing. But there's still a lot of people, you know, they want their grandkids and their kids to come back to their original home. And they want to keep it. And if you do, that's where the reverse mortgage comes in real nicely.
All right, 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to beautiful Barrhaven. We go and say hello to Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, we're great, thanks.
Good. I have a question about a townhouse. We own a townhouse in Barrhaven that we've been renting out for about 10 years, and we're wondering about whether it's time to sell in this market that it's at, and how do you think the value changes if there's already a tenant in it or without, because it hasn't been updated since pretty much we've rented it out?
So the reason for selling is because you just don't want to be a landlord, or you just want to take advantage of the nice
part
prices?
And parcel. Yeah, part and parcel is we've worked at it for a long time. It was a lot of work, and we're kind of at that point in our lives where we're ready to get rid of the property, but at the same time, we want to sell when we get the most value for our investment.
Yeah, well, you're at the right time, which is awesome. I mean, what you paid for it is drastically up. You know, you're most likely, depending, I don't know anything about it, but you're most likely in the sixes for a sale price, potentially even more if it's a larger townhome. Is the tenant a good tenant, and is the rent at market rent?
Probably at this point the rent is a little bit lower than it could be.
Okay.
The tenant is a reasonably good tenant. They've kept, maintained the property. There's no issues with that challenge.
So the rent would be at what rate?
I think, well, she pays, yeah, I think about a month. If we're talking about a month, I think it's at about $1,400.
Not too bad.
Ooh, that's low. Ooh, that's low. That's
yeah,
low.
I think it's low, honestly, but it was because at the time there were a lot of options when we first rented it out. There were a lot of options on that particular street, and so we had to reduce the rent a little bit to get a tenant to stay. And
okay,
I haven't really increased it since, even though I know
back.
I could have.
Yeah,
you haven't been increasing the rent every month, or every year, sorry. No, see, that hurts, and that's a mistake people make, they don't increase the rent when something's under-rented. Your townhome right now, I don't know the square footage or the area, but it could be anywhere from $2,000 to $2,300 a month in rent that you could be getting for this townhome, so you're way under-rented. So you could still sell it with the tenant in it, most likely someone's not going to buy that as an investment property because the rent is too low. Most likely someone's going to buy that and buy it for themselves and then have to kick the tenant out, as long as the tenant is obviously on month to month. But if they've been there for 10 years, I'm assuming they're on month to month. Yeah, so most likely that tenant, no one's going to absorb that tenant at $1,400 a month. Okay. No one. So, but you can still sell it with the tenant in there, but I would let the tenant know that you are selling it, and most likely they should probably start finding somewhere to live.
Right. And our question, too, I guess, is because it hasn't been updated, to me, does that decrease the value significantly? Because if I was going to sell it, our original plan was to renovate the kitchen and do those things and redo some of the flooring and the carpets because, I mean, they don't show well.
In any other market, I would say absolutely you need to redo, you need to, you know, fix the property up. In this market, no. I mean, you're not going to get as much for it as if it was a totally renovated place, but at the same time...
Not going to be a huge difference these days, though.
No, it's not going to be a huge difference. I mean, it's hard to say what it would sell for because, you know, all you need is one desperate person to come in and overpay for it. But, yeah, in this market, I wouldn't go and do any renovations. I mean, if it needed a coat of paint and this and that, but, you know, at the same time, how are you going to paint with the tenant in there, right? So it's, you know, I would probably sell it as is and just have that conversation. The toughest part about selling a property with a tenant in it is the tenant isn't really invested to really help you get the property sold because they don't want to leave.
Exactly.
So there's most likely not going to be neat and tidy. They hopefully you have a good tenant, but, you know, there are some tenants that make the showings, like, really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough to sell a property with a tenant in it as long as you have a good tenant. And you might want to go as far as to say, you know, like, let's say you called us to sell the property. You might go as far as to say, ask us if we can actually help your tenant find something else. But the tenant most likely won't be happy because he's going to go, he or she is going to go from $1,400 a month to most likely a similar product to $2,300 a month. So the tenant will not be very happy. The only other thing you could do is potentially approach the tenant about buying it. See if they're interested in buying it.
Right. Okay.
But
Or do what Paul always preaches. Don't get rid of doors. Honestly, like, unless it's a nuisance to you guys, I don't know that values of homes are going to come down anyway. So, you know, if you've got a good tenant, granted they're underpaying, but granted you've got a good tenant, you've probably got a smaller mortgage, it's cash flowing properly, why not hang on to it? Unless you absolutely have to, why not just hang on to it?
Well, let me put this out there. Why not sell it, buy another one, and get a tenant in and charge them $2,200 a month?
Yeah.
Well, you're not wrong, Steve, except for, again, I mean, then you're going through the, you know, you got to set money aside for capital gains, which you're going to have to anyway. And I don't know what cycle of your life career you're in as far as where your incomes are. But obviously, you know, it all plays a game. I mean, it plays into your decision. So I think maybe talking to an accountant is probably not a bad idea either.
But the timing as far as getting the best value for the townhome is pretty good, right, Paul?
It is very good, but it's a very good time to sell. It's a hot, hot market, especially in Barrhaven. But like Frank said, if you don't have to sell it, I wouldn't sell it. But one thing you do want to do is increase the rent every year because you got to get that up to market value, which is going to take a while. I have one unit myself who 4 years ago I put the people in it, and they were paid. It's a townhouse in Orleans. I got $1,750 on a four-year lease, and it was a slam dunk home run. Within 6 months, the rental market went crazy, and now they're well underpaying.
Yeah.
So I have to now increase their rent, which I don't like doing, because if you have a great tenant, you really don't want to increase the rent. But at the same time, you're now in a predicament because you haven't been raising the rent. That's, no one's going to buy that as an investment property with that tenant in it. That's the problem.
So if we're selling it, we're not selling it as an investment. We would be selling it to a new home buyer.
Probably.
Most likely. I mean, listen, there's better investments out there than stick a tenant in there for $2,000 to $2,300. Yours is $1,400. So it's, you know, you're...
If you're leasing month-to-month, I mean, there's 60 days notice, right? If you're on a month-to-month lease right now, your tenant's on a month-to-month, it's 60 days notice. So really, somebody that would buy it would be somebody that intends on living in it. Therefore, you know, the tenant would have to give up possession within 60 days.
The only thing you could do as well is you could say to the tenant, listen, I'm thinking of selling it. No one's going to buy this property and keep you in it. Let's make an agreement and see if we can get the rents up a little bit, or I have to sell it. You know, if he agrees, he or she agrees to, you know, jack it up, you know, to $1,800, at least you're getting a little bit more, and maybe don't sell it at that point. But otherwise, the tenant's going to be on the street looking for another property, so he or she might agree to increase the rent, and if you don't end up selling,
What about incentive for the tenant? Could you offer them a month or two's rent somewhere else?
You could. You could do that. You could always buy out the tenant for sure. You could say to the tenant, you know, I'm thinking of selling it. You know, you can induce the tenant if you want. But the tenant doesn't have to do it.
No, I just mean to get a little more cooperation from the tenant to say, you know what, no hard feelings. Well, let's help you out, and you make yourself available to show the place, right?
Yep, you could do that. There's all sorts of ways that you can make it amicable, but you're definitely selling that as a house for someone to move into, not as an investment.
Thanks, Cynthia. Maybe give Paul a shout and get an idea of what the place is worth. Maybe that'll make up your mind for you.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye now. Wow. That was a fast hour.
That was a fast
hour. Always.
Well, it was faster for Frank because it wasn't a full hour.
Yeah, true.
Missed 2 minutes listening to you guys.
So birthdays, Frank?
A couple, our good family friend Rita Sousa celebrating her birthday this week and tomorrow, and salt of the earth. Our company is what it is because we've got amazing people in our company, and top dog Derek Artichuk celebrating his birthday today. So happy birthday, Artie!
Nice.
Happy birthday, Artie! I have a couple. Angie White, who's my brilliant office manager, her birthday is on the 5th. I don't even know what day that is. What is that? Monday? Something? Tuesday?
Tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. And also, Jocelyn, my assistant, her son Nicholas, he celebrates his birthday on the same day. Oh, and Jason Craig from my office also on the same day.
Wow.
All of them on the 5th. Yeah.
Busy.
What?
Yep.
What? You got more birthdays than me this week? What's going on?
Not as many vowels, though. Hey, happy anniversary again, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
All right, have a great week, guys. Happy and what are we doing, Frank? What are we doing?
Happy Eastern. Please support local businesses and charities, especially now that they're under another lockdown.
Correct. Thanks, guys.